Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the Scarlet Threads, we're in part four. We were just talking about a Mr. Hitler and the mass extermination of Jews in his country. You know all about the Holocaust, I'm sure. We finished up with a quote from DeRosa. Could not His Holiness, who declared infallibly in 1950 that a Jewess was taken up body and soul into heaven, could he not have said authoritatively in 1942 that her race was not to be annihilated for being Jewish? And thus they continued, by this silence, their undying, unabated hatred of the modern-day children of Israel. Many individual Catholics now were opposed to the Nazis, but the system kept its distance, many of the insiders privately rejoicing in the victory over their ancient enemy. So where did Adolf Hitler get his money? Well, in part from the Vatican's other ally, Italy. From a book, Who Financed Hitler, by a Mr. Poole, we read this, quote, "Covert funding to sponsor international fascism was an essential policy of Mussolini's government. The numerous reliable sources which have cited that the Nazis received financial support from Mussolini are more than enough evidence for a sound conclusion." So we've got one big happy family. The Vatican supports Italy, Italy supports Germany, and together it's back to the age when Rome, via Germany, rules the world. In other words, the Holy Roman Empire. Too severe a conclusion? Listen to the voice of the Nazarene. That's from Finleyville, Pennsylvania, a magazine that adds other supporting evidence that Rome is once more tied in to this world war. Quote, "The first government that Hitler constituted was two-thirds Catholic. In Czechoslovakia, it was Catholic Slovakia that played Hitler's game. The Austrian cardinal literally threw himself at Hitler's feet, von Papen, privy chamberlain to His Holiness John 23rd, good old John they called him, was former vice chancellor of the Reich and condemned to 8 years hard labor at Nuremberg. He escaped death by intervention of the Pope. The Nazi foreign minister was a Catholic. The chief propagandist for the Nazis was Goebbels, a Catholic. The principal leaders of the Nazi party were Himmler, Heydrich, Mueller, and Frank, all Roman Catholic. Frank, the butcher of Poland, like von Papen, had an intercessor. This time it was Pope Pius, but without success. Nuremberg did find him guilty and punished him." End of quote. The evidence that the fascism of the day was linked to Rome is overwhelming. Italian, German, Spanish, Croatian. When a nation begins to think of itself as the nation, and its religion happens to be Catholic, the world should tremble. In 1937, the Pope explains in one of his encyclicals that his connection to Hitler was made merely to preserve the church. Indeed, the Vatican was told that it must give total allegiance to the regime in order to have a functioning diocese in Germany. But now the Pope expresses regret. Maybe it was a mistake after all. Hitler isn't what he had expected. He, the Pope, is sorry. That's one way of explaining it. But in 1936, Cardinal Faulhaber in Munich is saying this: "All the civilized world, but especially the Catholic nations, must unite into a holy crusade against atheist Russia." Poor usage of words in the light of the crusades of an uncivilized time perpetrated by the same group, by the way. And the Bishop of Munster, 1936, says, "It is the duty of every Catholic and of every civilized nation to defeat and crush godless communism." End of quote. And so to do it, we will use what? Godless Nazism, right? Although, as I've pointed out, they didn't think they were godless. In 1942, the German bishops were saying, quote, "A victory over Bolshevism, that's communism, would be equivalent to the triumphs of the teachings of Jesus over that of the infidels," end of quote. All bishops' quotes, by the way, are from a book called Vatican in World Politics by Avro Manhattan. Now, do late 20th century Americans realize that a holy war was being fought again in the 30s and 40s of the 1930s and 40s, of course. Politics was wedded, as always, but deeply religious issues were at the heart of it all. And so the eventual outcome of the war means more than we ever dreamed. As you may know, more than Germany and Italy are in this drama, the third mighty member of the Axis trio is Japan. And how strange the connection between that nation and the Vatican. Did you know? H.G. Wells points this out in his books, Crux Ansata. And I quote, "Having tied himself irrevocably to the Axis powers, Pius XII had to accept, and he accepted all too readily, the assimilation for mutual assistance of Shintoism and Catholicism. And how far that assimilation has gone, let this passage from Professor Carl Adams, The Spirit of Catholicism, bear witness." I'm still quoting. "We Catholics acknowledge readily, without any shame, nay, with pride, that Catholicism cannot be identified simply and wholly with primitive Christianity, nor even with the gospel of Christ, in the same way that the great oak cannot be identified with the tiny acorn." Oh, I hope you're listening, listener. Here it is, out in the public. Catholicism as it is today cannot be identified with the gospel of Christ. I'm still quoting now. "There is no mechanical identity, but an organic identity." And we go further. And we say that thousands of years hence, Catholicism will probably be even richer, more luxuriant, more manifold in dogma, morals, law, and worship than the Catholicism of the present day. Back in the 20th century. A religious historian of the 5th millennium, AD 5000 or 4000 and such, will without difficulty discover in Catholicism conceptions and forms and practices which will derive from India, China, and Japan. And he'll have to recognize a far more obvious complex of opposites. "It's quite true," he says, "Catholicism is a union of contraries, but contraries are not contradictions." He says the gospel of Christ would have been no living gospel, and the seed which he scattered, no living seed, if it had remained ever the tiny seed of AD 33, and not struck root, and had not assimilated foreign matter, and had not, by the help of this foreign matter, grown up into a tree so that the birds of the air dwell in its branches." End of quote. Oh my, did you hear it? He thinks that when Jesus talked about a tree, the mustard seed growing into a big tree, that he meant that the doctrines were all going to change and that all the birds everywhere could just be at home in Rome. No, he wasn't talking about doctrines changing. He was talking about size. Oh, how it's magnified, how big this church is all over the world. And people from every nation have come and rested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's right. Rome did pervert it all and wants it to be all mixed up with everything else. But God did not have that in mind. There is still a true church. And you, if you're part of Rome, you need to come out. Wells still, let me quote, "It is interesting to consider these conceptions, forms, and practices that the Roman Catholic Church is now incorporating. The great assimilation has begun." Oh, you're wrong, sir. It began hundreds of years ago from the 20th century. "The crude early Christians, still in the acorn phase, preferred martyrdom to burning a pinch of incense to the Roman god emperors. But the Roman Catholic Church of today has already established friendly relations with the Shinto faith, and the Japanese Catholic bows in the Shinto temples in acquiescence to the local supremacy of the emperor divinity over the Vatican." End of quote. Now, that's not that other guy talking. That's H.G. Wells again. Wells was just quoting that horrible thing that I gave you a few minutes ago. But Wells is trying to point out that Rome just takes in everything. Long as you're willing to say yes to the top guy, you're in. Now, those are the words of one we call an infidel. H.G. Wells certainly was. One who doubted God all his days. His vision of the church was a Roman vision, and he refused it. How the name Christian has suffered at the hands of Babylon. But his point is well taken. In the name of expediency, in the name of anti-communism, in the name of assimilation, and through the logic of men like the above-quoted professor, the church and its Christ are made to join hands with Satan's tools all over the earth. I hope you're listening. Well, before leaving this war, it's important to take another trip to old Yugoslavia. You remember Yugoslavia? That's where World War I began. It was Yugoslavia then. The place that was making the headlines back in 1990s. And was it for the same reasons? The extermination of heretics? World control? 1941, Yugoslavia was a neutral player in the war efforts of Hitler and others. The country is a blend of cultures and religions. The religions are represented by Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Islam, and Judaism. One section of Yugoslavia, Croatia, quite Catholic, welcomes the German invasion. I've got to stop right there. That's the introduction of where we will begin tomorrow as we close, or the next time we're together, if it's tomorrow, where we close part four, talking about Catholic Croatia. You're not going to believe it if you haven't heard this before. Thank you for being with us today. Do come back. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.